All right, start over.
But that's been there forever. I mean, it was 25 years ago when I first bought the house on Olson Road, and I knew about it then. So that's been a long-range transportation plan forever, whether it'll happen or not, who knows. I thought when the Port of Morrow's excavator hit the overpass, the main overpass through town, because they didn't lower the boom when they were transporting it, that maybe it was going to happen someday, but I don't know, it's lower mountain.
Daryl, did we have somebody join us?
Nope. I'm this. This is okay. The screen. That's Thank Matt.
Thank you.
So well, that sure might be somebody else.
Tuned in if anybody had questions or...
Oh, it's Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Yeah, they're trying to hold a Zoom meeting at Lexington. I don't know if Stephen signed in. Who's your account? Or...
I don't know.
So, what do you need from us, Matt? Are there more questions?
Or? Well, we're at 60% design on it right now. We just wanted to get this back in front of you. If there's any questions or if you want us to proceed forward with this, we're on a bi-weekly phone call with VA Data, and they're on wanting to know when we're going to get this constructed. We have no restrictions with West Extension on doing the pipe work we have to do. We're going to work on that in the contract. The landowner on that northeast corner is the only one that gets water, and he gets it one day a week. So we'll write it in the contract documents that they must perform that work and keep it open for the one day a week delivery. Andy, I don't see any reason why they can't tear that stuff out and get the pipe in a week's time, but at least if they wanted to.
Where they could stage it.
Go across Wilson and halfway down and dump it back in the old ditch for that week and then continue the other part of it. But what we're doing, we're not doing much because they're converting all this to high pressure now this next year.
Where the pipeline comes in underneath Wilson now at the top of the hill, and then it goes both east and west there, you're going to do the both of them, okay.
Yeah, we'll come across the road with the pipe, and then right. So on the north side, we'll have a T.
Right, I was just curious if the West Extension Irrigation Ditch is going to put that whole lateral in pressurized pipe.
Yeah, so what okay. We're doing on the south side of Wilson is we'll do exactly what we did at Laurel. We'll stub pipe out in their existing canal, just mm-hmm. for a 6-inch curve.
Okay.
And then it'll be new pipe underneath Wilson, and then it's going to go to a T. The right-hand T will be all underground, so that existing concrete canal comes out, and that pipe is buried underground. And then the original, we put a slight bend in it here to stay in the right of way, and then we're just stubbing it out in the existing box because they're going to tap onto it mm-hmm. later this fall. And then they asked for us on this to put a T in there because they have plans to take from the top of the hill to put it underground going back towards town.
Okay.
Because right now, south of this project, if you do go to Google Earth image, there's one line that runs up and goes to this crossing, and it actually splits and goes through, I think it's Allen Homes?
Yeah.
It splits and goes through his and comes out where that canal starts, further down Wilson. They're going to abandon that and just use this one crossing and split it either way. So this is just HDPE pipe, south side, nothing except to stub it out and pour a sleeve around it, one 18-inch T. A bend, and then it's just stubbing into the existing box, and then West Extension will take over from there. So, not much pipe work considered what we did on Coral Lane.
Okay.
So the pipe for Craig, is it that one up there on the west side?
No, it will be
Right, from the box straight.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And I got to work with Bev on that because he wanted a 10-inch, but Bev said they'd only give a 4-inch off of that, so we only need a 6. And I haven't got that far with Andy. We're going to get through this intersection design and then start finalizing everything. So I'm going to get a meeting with Bev and get ready to... So.
No advantage, Matt, picking up easements on the south side of Olson, at the intersection, either side?
Here?
Yeah, there or there.
I think it's something we could approach in the future. I mean, you think for this project or just for overall?
Yeah, just, you know, whether it buys you a right-hand turn coming out of there, if you're able to come over, it also affords people coming down Olson. You know, they could turn right on to Wilson or people going east on Wilson that are turning right on Olson, you know, it affords you some abilities.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get these radius on the south side. I have heard conversation that maybe this area down here is going to, there might be a middle soon for a bunch of dwellings in that area.
Yeah, it's zoned rural residential, so it could be broken up into smaller lots.
I'm just hearing some conversation that there might be something to split all that up into.
But I know that Coleman is going to farm the stuff that Alan Holmes has on the, I guess, the east side of Olson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess it's going to be more blueberries, but. He said he was going to, you know, put the drip irrigation system in there. That was last year, though. You never know.
Is that the same landowner on both sides?
No.
No.
Alan.
Yeah, yes. Alan. Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking north south?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, a guy named Alan Holmes.
Oh, north and south.
So, the... church owns this corner.
Right.
Craig owns this corner.
Right.
Holmes owns both sides of the
road. Oh, I thought Craig was taking over that piece over there.
Just the lease.
Oh, just the lease. I gotcha. Not ownership.
And Alan never sells anything.
Yeah.
Would
he sell
anything? I might, yeah. But, I mean, he's still got a house that he lived in town 25 years ago that nobody lives in and he hasn't sold it. And he's still got stuff in there.
It's like a good idea to approach it, if you're thinking about the future and planning for it, it's a good time to...
But yeah, he would at least talk to us. I mean, he's open to talk to us.
Well, and that's one thing that if, let's say, one of those parcels goes into a planning commission document to subdivide that into 5-acre parcels, it's very easy then to write in, we would like a radius in this corner due to future development, and get it to the planning commission, they can put it in as a conditional use on the...
Yeah.
So. That's a good idea.
And I just heard grumblings that there was some conversation down there in that part of turning that all into what it was, 2.5 or 5 acre parcels or something.
Or different 240 acres or something like that.
Yeah.
We wanted to bust that.
So the recommendation is a 4-way stop, right turn only for trucks.
Yes.
For left turn.
No right turn. Left turn only. Left turn or straight.
Left turn. Thank you. And you have 40% more work to do to complete the design.
Not quite. I just got an updated set of plans from our designer last night. I didn't give those to Matt yet. I haven't had a chance to go through them, but we're probably at about 75%. So we're hoping, if we have the green light to proceed with this intersection, we're hoping to be able to wrap up plans here in the next maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks, get this thing out to bid mid-July.
So I think our last formal decision was build the best that you can build, and it sounds like that's what you're doing, so I don't see any reason to do anything different. What do you do? It's unfortunate we're in the wrong end, but it's what it is. don't mind the four-way stop. I have to admit, it slows me down.
Well, I think if we had that right
away. If we had the right hand turn, I would keep the four-way stop.
That
would still be our recommendation, even if you had that.
With that elevation.
The recommendation is only a four-way stop.
Again, where you really run into problems if you're headed north on Olson and then want to turn west towards town. If people are coming over the hill and think they've got a free lane through there, if they're
catching some air.
Yeah.
And so construction now is already, the agreement is that's a left turn only.
That is the
future
agreement
construction,
now.
You can put the same condition in. So really informing the school is probably the biggest, the only other real hurdle. Right? You guys know that, or you better
than I do
for sure.
Yeah. I think if you're going to do dedicated, I mean, you could still allow, I think, trucks to turn right. It's just the recommendation that they don't. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be signed that way, but it's like now with Amazon, it's in their road use that they have to go that direction. But when I'm down there, you see them come out of there and they go right because they want to go to town. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's on them when they take that right-hand turn and get out in the
lane. It eliminates our liability.
It eliminates our liability.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, once from what I observe at the Amazon sites that are finished, they don't have a lot of truck traffic. You know, they're not buying a lot of equipment, or the deliveries are little stuff, UPS truck or something like that, just bring in just office equipment or office supplies.
So then the bus, it should be just travel traffic, just car traffic.
Yeah, it's mostly just people going to and from work. And it seems like the number I've heard is they employ about 50 people per building in full build out. So at full build out, there'd be 200 people that work there. That's three shifts, so you get like 70 people a shift coming to work and 70 people leaving. And most of them are like everybody else in Eastern Oregon, they don't carpool, they're driving their own car.
And then, I mean, like, we haven't even talked about Olson, but this is the full pavement all the way clear to the freeway.
Yeah, and that's needed. You know, the people that live down there will appreciate that. It was one of the many county roads that we built years ago where we put asphalt on top of sand.
All the way to the freeway and dead end?
Yeah. Just like it does now.
Yeah.
So, but it'll
just like it is now. Okay.
Yeah, it'll go past the Amazon site and then at the end of the. So.
Yeah, if there's ever grant money or something available, that's when an overpass would be built there.
And I never thought about it until I drove down there the other day, and this might be a conversation for us next Tuesday with Amazon. I'm wondering if we don't ask them if they give us an easement to do it.
That was on my list of questions.
I think that was...
Craig might like that when he gets his tractor in there. Mm-hmm. Say Craig might like that if he brings his tractor around there.
Well, I mean, it's only 40 feet, and you'd right now you're dead and then get turned around anyways, and I know they have their water system and stuff, but...
Yeah, I was thinking the fire department made him do something down there, either a hammerhead at the end or a...
It was off of their main entrance. So they had their main entrances fenced, and then just to the south of that, they had to put a 500-foot turning radius area for the fire department, which they built, but now that I'm down there, they've got it fenced off and a bunch of equipment parked there, so.
Yeah, that's not the first cul-de-sac that got stuff parked in, so the fire department can't get through.
That'd be my recommendation. We talk to them next Tuesday, just say, hey, this is a dead end, can you give us, and then whatever you can get for us on the design. Not truck traffic, just the personnel traffic.
That went too far in E-turn route. Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're up in Washington, especially when you get out of the Tri-Cities, you go just the other way, they would have extended Olson down to the interstate and then made it so that you could cross the interstate and get on to the other interstate. I've never been so scared in my life. You get out of the Tri-Cities on the interstate, you know, and you see these cars driving across the interstate. Various and sundry.
Oh, I've had to do that too with a fully loaded truck from a stop sign go across all four lanes of that traffic.
It's just crazy. I think, Matt, you have to have, if we do left turn only for trucks, then you definitely have to have a stop sign, at least, you know, people coming over that hill, because trucks would be coming out, they're pretty slow, coming through that bus turn only.
Yeah, and that's why...
The sideline is pretty rough, yeah.
Or even grandma, you know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we'd have that stop on that bottom side. And it's no, it's the same with somebody pulling out of that south side of Olson on there now. Mm-hmm.
So rough me out an idea, Matt. I wouldn't hold you to the numbers, especially, you know, as fast as things change. But to additionally widen that easement where the Catholic Church is there in the future. And like, say, you could build this, and you said it'd just be kind of fill and pave. I guess difference, basically not the cost, but the difference of doing it now or an add-on later.
Now it probably wouldn't add very much at all. No. I mean, minimal. You probably wouldn't even notice it in the bid.
And as an add-on later.
As an add-on, we would probably just do it as a county, so you're talking a day or so of prep work and a day of paving. And paving,
God, what would it be? Probably so 150 square feet.
Well, you'd have the same paving either way.
Yeah, you'd have the same paving either way, so.
Just a couple days worth of work.
A couple days worth of work, maybe 30,000 down
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. Unless we didn't have you go, then it'd be like 15. Sorry.
We'll get it when we.
So he can't supervise? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we straightened out some of those other county roads down there, like Tom's Camp and Ruby Road.
Yeah, that's not much radius.
Yeah, but I mean, still, we'd have the prep work either way, too.
Yeah.
I bet there's got to be a little bit more cost to marry the other piece into this one, as opposed to doing a one piece.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. A little bit.
But it wouldn't, you know, $5,000-$10,000 or something.
Yeah, it's $10,000. It's less than 100 tons.
Yeah. Yeah, 100 tons, $4,700 in asphalt. You're probably $1,500 in rock, but then you're probably upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 in crew time for flagging and prepping and truck time. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're getting where I'm headed, girl.
The difference is what they're saying is probably about $10,000.
Well, we still have all those things, whether we do it one piece or two piece.
Correct.
Yes.
But right. The difference from the contractor doing it and them coming back later.
Well, the big difference is Amazon's paying for it now, and if we do it 2 years from now, all of us are paying for it.
Set aside your 10% cut.
Yeah. But to do it in two pieces, though, is going to cost us how much more, no matter who pays for it?
I was thinking 15.
Yeah.
Maybe more of a pain. I mean, it's just a little slower.
Yeah, you'd have to do it while you're doing something else in the area.
Yeah. Well, and on that race, it'd just be one pass on the paver that you're going to start out manual feed one side at zero, drop the paver off to pay full width, and then taper back up to zero again. I mean, at 10, less than 100 tons, it's only two truck and pups a mix. It's not that much.
We can still negotiate some power down there.
So, yeah, and our so we're still fine on the road use because we have 2 years from all entitlements. But if we can get this pushed forward, then once we get it out for bid, like Amy was saying, you know, 3 weeks, we're talking sometime middle of July to go out for bid.
I would just do 3 weeks tops, maybe two.
So that put us sometime around the first to the middle of August for a bid date. And then at that time is when Amazon has to get us a check for $600,000 for the job. And then probably start construction if the contractor is available sometime first of September. That's giving them September, October. It's kind of a push to get done by
on the past map, when we've reconstructed roads like this, we've paved the approaches to driveways along that road. Is that the plan again this time?
Yep, two driveway lines. So those would be, as you can see there, they, on this plan, it shows each driveway approach.
Yeah.
Like I paved out.
When my driveway approach got paved, all 165 yards of it.
Tatone got his whole road paved, and it was just a ditch easement. I can't even get him to come by my house.
Gerald, I think the last correspondence I saw between you and the church was, yeah, please move forward with whatever you want to do. I couldn't hurt to send them this. This is where we're heading. Informational, one, it's right at their property, and two, perhaps they would want to ask more questions. I don't mean it as a proposal to engage conversation, but just here's where we headed. I think it'd be good for transparency anyway. I think they felt uninformed and just keep them in the loop.
Oh, I think they were uninformed.
I think they were uninformed.
Very uninformed.
Misinformed.
Misinformed, yeah.
It just keeps the, instead of rumors, here's what the engineer said.
I think as long as they start getting a timeline, send that out, the timeline, ballpark timeline, just saying, hey, just so you guys know what's going to happen.
Well, if we moving forward today, you'll have something in the next week.
Yeah.
For just schedule.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
preferably by next, probably Tuesday to Amazon, but then that way we can hand it out and say, here's where we're at, here's the anticipated bid date, here's the anticipated start, completion date.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to get it wrapped up and get it completed before fall.
Because construction timelines will impact their traffic too, so.
Yeah, and Amazon's interested in it just because of their next building, what it's going to do to their traffic coming in and out, the old construction too. So,
how long is their construction schedule?
Took them a year for the first one.
Yeah, they're what, done with the second?
Yeah, the second one is all, it's all tilted up and got a roof on it.
And but they're starting on, I think three and rigs are on number three. But if that's cold,
they're probably another year in construction at least.
They're another two years.
Probably another 2 years in construction. Then they'll be done.
So.
It'll be slick when it snows.
Make sure you mention that.
We'll have to go rough it up for them. Well, but originally they
gave us... We'll grind it back down and pay some more. We'll pay it back over.
Well, they gave us $100,000 to take from the end of this project down. Laurel. And that's why we didn't do that into Wilson, is we were hoping to get this intersection done so then we could chip the entire stretch all the way through and cover up Laurel Lane paved and all these joints. It's just chip the entire thing and make it all one brand new road and done. So, and that's why even Eric and I's plan were, I told him I didn't know if we could even chip Wilson East next by or this next spring. I just don't know until this project goes when we can get in there.
So. Anything else on this side?
No, other than I think we're going to bring the church back into the discussion. We need to bring the city back into the discussion and their IAMP, which they refuse to do, and why they won't go down the Oregon Trail and loop in here and eliminate all this discussion. So it's just aggravating as hell.
Should attend the IMP meeting.
But the winds are changing. Things are changing. That's a good thing.
Well, the city, you know, eventually will have to acquire that ground for right away. They haven't got it yet. But
the right way for?
For a future road there that comes off of Oregon Trail that goes into Front Street.
After not to get off topic, but after sitting through the IMP meeting, I don't think they're ever going to do anything for the loop roads. Fine. Something. I mean,
they have to, right? I mean,
they do, but I'm just, I mean, in conversation, it's not that hard layout.
Did you go to the last IMP meeting, Christian?
I did not.
You did go to those type of meetings?
Yeah, I was. I inadvertently got left out of the email loop of late, so I'll have to get myself back.
I'll let you know, there's having another one July. I don't think they sent that out. First week of July.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, make sure I get back.
The last one is all conversation on what the amendments that they can do to the roundabout on the north side. There wasn't a whole bunch of conversation on the south, except they were waiting until the EDC made their decision before they designed the roads. So you're tipping that.
Well, it's not on the agenda, but we can always
start back. And I might as well bring it. So I have heard some complaints from people that travel that road in the mornings about traffic coming out of the Tallman's Coffee Shop because they're coming down the hill on Laurel Lane and on the corner and traffic is coming out. And it's traffic doesn't see that the traffic coming on the Laurel doesn't see them, or they can't see the traffic coming on the Laurel, but it's
so not the best. A whole part of the in those loop roads we're having a conversation, and this is the City of Boardman allowed that shop to go in there, the city property, and I asked the question to Barry in a meeting, and they said, is this your design of your loop roads? Because that's not a permitted access. It went from a field access to what Terry did.
Right.
And so he sent Terry down to fill out an approach permit for me. And I said, I'm not accepting it from Terry. It needs to come from the City of Boardman, because this is going to be your city street. So submit me where you're going to build this. And he wouldn't do it. So I sent him an email and said that is a non-permitted approach. The City of Boardman is liable for any accidents that happen in that area due to not.
And this guy that was complaining needs a new car too. So
that's where they're going in and out of the judge's shop on the interstate side?
Yeah, so they're coming in from the interstate side. Then as they turn out, they're going back out to the interstate side. And when they pull onto Laurel Lane, it becomes a traffic hazard with people
coming off around that
coming
corner,
down Laurel Lane, hill. Coming down the hill. Yeah.
Well, that's the problem with the loop roads, or when the loop roads were to be developed was when development was in that area. Mm-hmm. So they can turn right and turn into the coffee shop or wherever they want to go, but you cannot turn left
coming back out of there.
Back out until you get to the BPA lines is where the. Now, they let us have our shop because it was an existing approach, but I want to move it south to that EPA line. Mm-hmm. And that's been the whole conversation, where's this loop road going to go?
Yeah, I don't know where's our line. I think that's terrible. You know, I've gone into the judge's shop, and I'll turn myself back around and go south to get back out there to go left, because yeah, when you go down there and you go to turn left, those people coming off that hill, it's...
Well, when they first built
it's our road, right?
Yeah, when they first built it, there was a, from Terry's shop, there was one up to the existing, the old approach up on top is what they were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm.
And then even on the other side where the Pacific Pride is, there's a stacking problem when you get trucks in there and there's not a lot of room to stack, and they'll actually stack out on Laurel Lane sometimes.
Trying to get turned to the right.
Yeah, to get into the Pacific Pride, there's somebody ahead of them, you know, you got a truck and a pup that's
further along. And when the IMP is developed or implemented, they can't turn left into Pacific Pride. They have to go to the top of the hill and take the loop road in. Mm-hmm. But then they can turn right and go back out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Pacific Pride, they could solve that temporarily pretty easily just by redirecting traffic. And instead of coming right in off of Laurel Lane to fuel, then going around, you could go around and do a left-hand turn and come back to fuel. And take a couple. I thought about that when I owned it 20 years ago.
Okay, Matt, you have 6 minutes for your next.
So I put this on in conversation. Morrill County owns 4 acres. This is the transfer station down by Lexington. Mm-hmm. And then this is the ODOT rock quarry. We actually own 4 acres to the north side of the rock quarry. Would really like to pursue going after a conditional use permit to extend that and use that as rock for the county. It's county property adjacent to rock property. The local manager is all for it. Will allow us to use their main entrance for access in and out, and then work stockpile and stuff on their property. But also, I apply for it. I would like to look at going after conditional use for this 16.9 acres back here behind the transfer station as a county property.
There's no homes close to there, is there?
There is some on the across Piper Canyon.
Okay.
There's 2 residents up there. And then you have Doc Temple's on the south side of the road. This whole area here is being mined by ODOT right now. And then when I was doing some research and found out, it showed on my GPS that this was Morrill County, and checking with Mike, we own 4 acres right here. 4 acres isn't much, but when you consider how steep that hillside is, a lot of rock. And then in that one, I noticed how much we owned in behind the transfer station. I mean, that's 16 acres of rock for the county, and ultimately someday it'd probably be nice to try and buy this little chunk here from Richard Rule and open that up. ODOT's interested in it. I met Bob down there. He'd like to lower that entire floor. Right now you come off the state highway and climb up in the pit, he'd like to lower that down. So I told him we could work something. If we were crushing on their part, I could do the probably work for 25 cent royalty on it. We wouldn't pay ODOT, they'd just take it in exchange for road rock on their part. But it's 20 acres of county ground that's adjacent to a pit. I'd like to pursue the planning and see if we can get it
approved. I think both of those ODOT quarries have Coal 5 protection as well. They've been through a process, which I only bring that up because that was an opportunity for those homeowners to engage on that activity in that area, and no one did.
The conditional use, is it a planning commission decision, desk decision, come clear to us?
Planning commission.
Somebody appealed
and it comes to the board. And I've just been checking on this and need to get it forward. And Stephanie, when I asked her the other day to process, she was telling me about it. And she said, well, you can make the July if you get it in the next 10 days, otherwise it's going to August. Which is, like to start some process.
You just need a nod of the heads from us.
Yeah. You guys are good with it. I will work with Stephanie on what I need to do.
And then it gets a true public process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have 4-hour constructions up this. They'll be here. I'm going to be on road tour all day Thursday with them. I need to look at that. Juniper. I got the 2 pits in the mountains to look at. So I got to get my rock crushing plan for this next year. So I want to show them that area.
That goal 5 gave those ODOT folks the primary protection in the area. It just tells me that there wasn't a lot of pushback for that use.
And we don't have enough rock quarries in Morrill County anyway, so I think we know it's just...
Right.
They want county owned quarries. Yeah, county owned.
Is that because of cost?
It is. It's just a pain. I mean, I'll just use the instance for, there's a pit in outside of Iowa, great road rock pit.
You have 1 minute.
We pay 25 cents a solid yard and $200 a year stockpile. In the last conversation with the landowner, he wanted $2. And 25 cents a solid yard and $1,200 a year.
Yeah, I have no opposition to you running it. See what happens.
And on one crush, I mean, it was like $40,000. Well, at $40,000, we would like 40 acres and crush for the next 100 years on county property at any time. So
yeah,
that's my suggestion.
Yeah,
done.
Sorry. All right, if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn. And, or how do we handle? I guess we don't adjourn, we just call it.
Okay. So I'm just going to join the Levites.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you guys very much.
Get back and get to work because I'm going to be busy. Yeah. It's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yes. Better than the altar.
Yeah, thank you for making my account a priority always.
Hey, Matt.
always interesting. Land, we all
just
kind of like
our
vehicles.
I know.
All right. Always a gold nugget somewhere. Did you come take a find? So there's always a gold nugget around somewhere.
Please mute your phone. The call is being recorded.
Figure out how to
$15,000 total for that corner. Is that what you were saying?
The difference between doing it now and doing it later.
No, I'm talking about total cost now. No, just for that corner though.
He had 25 tops.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, and you can hardly mobilize at 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you can hardly mobilize something at 15.
Right, yeah. You're probably 10 in just material.
Yeah.
So you're saying 25 total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's $5,000 in mix, you're $1,500 in gravel. I mean, you're going to be under tapping and traffic, you're going to be under paint striping, but then you're talking $10,000 a day in labor and trucking. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be 25, a little later.
Okay.
But remember, we get 10% off of the total cost. Or 10% added to the total price of the job.
If we do it now.
Well,
but I mean, when we come back and do it later, we don't get any money.
No, but we get 10% of whatever the total project costs.
Yeah.
Are we on?
Yep.
Will you let them know who we are? Or does it say who we are?
I put Morrill County right there.
Okay.
I didn't put my name on. So then I'll try to find that other one.
I have the other, well, yeah, for the 230, and I'm just gonna, it seems too complicated to do it in another way. Of course, I'll probably not be able to get
in either. No, I think you can do that.
Well, hopefully all I have to do is click on this link.
I have a lead on an emergency manager.
Yeah?
Can't start till November 2nd.
Nice. Yep. Good to know.
And the first 100 days are paid for by the military. I don't have any more, but I'm working on it.
November 2nd, when's the election?
Should be the second Tuesday, whatever the day that is. I think it's the second Tuesday of the month. So.
Well, so that gets complicated. We need a December 2nd start date.
Well, that's the first day they could start, doesn't mean that they have to start then.
Are you related?
No. No. Nope. Just came out of nowhere. It's nice to see.
Yeah. It's 202.
What?
How come nobody's talking? It's 202.
Why is it not coming across? Shit. He's talking to Brian. Can I not hear?
The public town hall to come. Do you want to take the first, offer the first question or comment or raise the first issue that you're working on that we can help you with?
Do you
want
to have something?
Okay,
sorry.
I don't think
you
do.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking about I'll text her and let her know that we're maybe she's not hearing you.
Hi, Jessica. Can you hear us?
Oh, great. Yes. Now we can.
Yeah.
Greetings.
Greetings. Thank you for the town hall this morning. I guess to come, but the leaders' meeting first of all. I didn't really prepare to get to have the first comment here this morning, but I guess the only thing I had a few phone calls this morning, and I see the sheriff just walked in as well. There's been some concerns and some questions about some work with the qualified immunity work for police officers, and I got an outreach from Chief Stokoe, and I haven't had a chance to talk to the sheriff here in Morrow County yet, but it raises concern for our personal county budget of how that impacts if that's removed with that work. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that, Senator.
Sure, you bet. So the qualified immunity is one of a long list of things that are under discussion for how do you take the enormous power that is vested with those who wear the badge as public safety officers and try to make sure that power is executed in a fashion that serves all the citizens of the community. Because we have so many places an embedded sense that the public safety officers are there for the Caucasian community, and they're there to protect them from the African American or the dark skinned community. That's the systemic racism that everyone's trying to say no. We have to have a public safety system that views every single person in the community as a client, as a constituent. And try to have the conduct be exactly the same when you see a situation, regardless of the color of the skin. And those set of issues that are being considered, they're very broad. They include things like issues of the types of choke holds or carotid artery holds that cut off the blood to the brain, the issue of police cameras, when they would be worn, and how the information would be accessible. A database, and by the way, the president just proposed this today. I've been working on the suggestion of a police database so that those individuals who do exercise criminal or predatory or racist practices don't just get fired from one operation and go down the road to the next and get fired and become a repeat offender. I would say the issue you've just raised is probably the most complex question. Qualified immunity is a creation not of the law, but of courts. It is based on when can a police officer be held accountable for conduct that injures someone or kills someone. And it's based on looking back at court records. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't feel real comfortable that I understand the whole history of this. But it has been a factor that has been wrestled with in terms of accountability when there are predatory practices. So I just want to leave it there and say I think the insights need to come from those on the front line all across the state, all across the nation, who understand the implications of this and can help us have a responsible discussion on that component. And I'd be, anyone who would like to express thoughts or insights, we can follow up with them, or you can express them here now if you'd like.
Senator Merkley, Chief Social Department of Police, how are you, sir?
Yes, Chief, okay, I think I see you? No, I see myself on this distant screen.
Eventually it's supposed to turn and face me, but we'll see how that works, so I apologize if it doesn't. I can turn it real quick.
Yeah, now we got you.
Sir, I want to thank you for your efforts on this. I don't want to take up all your time. I've been in contact with your office, both with Jessica and Tara, and they've been great to work with. I have extreme concerns of the potential changes to qualified immunity. I can tell you that if there are extreme changes to qualified immunity, I think you're going to see that law enforcement across the board going to quit. They're going to go somewhere else because you open the door to be sued every time you turn around. There's not enough money to pay me to do this job. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of police officers, and they're already talking about, you know, what do I do in my next jobs? I would ask that when it comes to these changes, that we don't get in a big rush. I think there's a lot of room to have some discussions. I would tell you that a lot of the proposed changes that I've reviewed in staff are positive changes, changes that we've been practicing in Oregon for quite some time. I do have concerns about the immunity. It really needs to be reviewed closely, and let's not make any rash jumps on it. The last thing I would like to say is I simply am not sure how justice reform, how limiting the transfer of military grade equipment to law enforcement has anything at all to do with justice reform. I know that we use the equipment on a regular basis, and for small agencies, that's a very vital resource. So I would ask that you pay close attention to those. And again, I've spoken with Jessica and Tara in detail on my concerns. So other than that, I thank you for your time, and we'll be more than willing to answer any questions.
You know, that feedback is very helpful. And the question on qualified immunity is there a different standard that provides a better balance in terms of individuals who have exhibited egregious predatory conduct? And don't know the answer, but I know that that's what people are wrestling with, so it's a really important time to get the kind of feedback that you're giving.
Sheriff Matlock, I have another comment I'd like to make regarding that same issue, if I could.
You bet, absolutely.
The one thing that I'm trying to get, an understanding of, is that a police officer who is engaging in his work, he's following department policy. So long as the department policy is vetted by, in our case, we use Lexapol and other entities that vets that from an insurance coverage perspective on how we conduct ourselves and whether our policies and procedures are meeting what we do. So we, from that standpoint, I'm a little concerned that when an officer is doing the right thing and there's not been a violation of department policy based on the existing law and or the existing conditions of insurance companies as best practices, then I'm concerned because if there's an arbitrary decision on what qualified immunity can happen and lower the standard when a person's doing what he's supposed to do, that's supposed to help the officer as long as he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that's what I'm afraid, that it's a knee-jerk and they're going to be changing things when it's could impact officers of doing exactly what they're supposed to do. I realize there's times, and we had one just recently with the use of a taser, where they justified a police officer shooting the person who had stolen his taser and shot him back and so forth. So there's a lot of cases that are close calls, and I'm assuming somebody in a jury environment or judicial environment would make those decisions. But otherwise, I think I'm a little concerned that what I'm hearing is that the arbitrariness of reducing qualified immunity when it's not, we're not talking about the egregious people that are doing obviously things that are wrong, which would be in violation of department policy.
Well, this piece does have a really complex history because it's kind of, again, a construction of the court. As I understand it, it's not in statute. There aren't a set of standards. It's kind of looking back at court record of different courts in different parts of the country, different decisions that set the foundation. And so I've got a lot to learn about this and a lot to hear from folks in Oregon about the issue. So thanks for adding to the conversation on that.
One clarification. Oregon, in my judgment, is doing very well in how they certify police officers, the training academy that they have, and there are states, several, that their officers don't go to a central academy. They go to the police department and they learn whatever they learned at that police department. Oregon, for years and years, has sent everybody so they're all getting the same type of training and they're all certified under the same parameters, whether it's city, county, or state. So I think you're probably right. There are some jurisdictions that are not up to speed where they need to be so that their officers are being trained properly. So I do want to mention that Oregon seems to be doing pretty well in that regard.
It's always nice to see a situation where Oregon is helping to set an admirable standard for the country. But as you know, other jurisdictions may not be doing quite so well in that regard.
Great, Senator. We have lots of other folks on the phone and on the internet here that probably want to ask other types of questions. It's up to you if you want to pick one or just let them jump in.
Well, let's just have folks jump in or wave their hand and you can call on them.
Senator Murphy, it's Brian Neal with Port Morrow.
Hello, greetings. How are you doing?
Doing great. Just wanted to pass on our